Welcome to Girls in Heels. On today's podcast, Steve Harvey said something life-changing that we're going to talk about. Nicole has a new diet, and I have a new question for the girls. I think this is going to be a good one. You guys will like the question I have for you.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Maybe you'll hate it. I don't know. I'm just making it up. Who knows? I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence. My co-hosts are Teresa Aprea and Nicole Napolitano, also known as the twins from Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Are you guys going to be shooting that show again anytime soon? What's going on there?
Oh, you know what?
We're going to be doing some guest appearances. I know we're going to be doing something with Teresa for possibly a book signing.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that
okay,
should,
cool.
that
awesome.
Should be fun. Yeah.
All right.
And we're going to, yeah. So
I think season six was a good enough season for me. We'll leave it at that.
Well, after Mommy last week, oh my gosh, she hated it. So yeah, so we, Reno did some filming. Reno was in, AC with them.
Last week.
How's she doing, by the way? I heard you saw that the book came out and there's all of lesbian sex that she had to witness. That's hilarious.
Yes. Hey, listen, I wish her the best. I'm happy. I think they're going to have they should have a good season. A lot of filming with her out, and I'm sure a lot of stories for season seven. Reno did some, filming, I guess, with Joe. It was
Atlantic
on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you talking about in the Daily News? Last week about the lesbians in the South?
Yeah. Because I guess the Daily News got an advanced copy of her book.
Yes.
And she talked about all the lesbian sex she had to watch. It was so much so that they called the prison area where she was
the boom boom room.
I have to tell you something, though. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, but she was actually saying that there are people that even weren't lesbians who weren't gay, but for the time they were in there,
wanted to get satisfied.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's called Gay for the Stay.
Gay for the Stay.
Gay for the Stay. Oh, Santa's here, by the way.
Santa's here again.
We got to say hello.
We love having mom with us.
I just stayed over.
She's coming into the city. We're going to do lunch afterwards.
So here's my question for you guys. Okay, so listen to this. I'm going to describe something to you, and then I'll tell you exactly what it is. Okay, carnival rides, fireworks, a marching band, elephants, a statue, and I think there's acrobats and some other live animal groups, okay? That sounds like, maybe some sort of
Carnival or circus
or maybe
State fair.
Yeah, state fair or something that goes on in, in Brazil for
Mardi Gras,
that kind of thing. No, that is Mariah Carey's wedding.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
That is what she is planning for her wedding.
So is that what billionaires do?
That sounds
wow. It's whatever floats your boat, right?
There's going to be a military flyover. I mean, she really is going all out for this wedding. Here's my question to you guys, because I read that and I was first reading I just described it to you. When I got to the end that it was her wedding, I thought that's extravagant. But I think everybody does one extravagant thing for their wedding, even regardless of what level it's at. Like, even if you're having like a picnic, you know what I mean? You do one thing that's special so that it's your wedding. So we've all been married. Everybody in the room here has all been married. What's the one thing that you did on your wedding day that was a little more extravagant than like a normal party? Teresa, you first.
Oh, no. My wedding was crazy. I mean, my mother's looking at me like it was insane. Like, yeah, I did everything extravagant. My wedding was about 300 people. The flowers, even at that time, and you're talking, oh my gosh,
20
years ago, I mean,
longer.
And it was over 20 years ago.
25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, over.
What my father spent on a wedding, they could have bought a second home.
They could have bought a second home between the two of us. So it was insane. My flowers, I remember. I mean, I don't even want to be tacky, but they were a fortune. They were small fortune. Like, I remember.
Well, our florist was from the Plaza.
Florist was Atlas in the Plaza Hotel. So, I mean, everything. My dress, my friend Anthony, who was a designer, I mean, custom made my dress. It was this dress was extravagant. It was, like, really? I wasn't even on TV back then.
And
it was like, it was made for, like, movie star status. It was, it was a big, full dress with the whole long veil, and then the top part of the dress, the big full part came off, and then it was a fluted dress underneath.
Very dancing,
very 40s, very beautiful fluted.
And so, she paid for the whole bridal party, the same thing. Yeah. It was very extravagant.
I have to
and
say,
it's attached.
Really?
Yeah, it was. To a mini dress, the bridesmaids. Yeah.
We did everything over the top. I mean, who at 21 years old? I was 21 when I got married. And I don't mean to sound like I'm not a bragger, but.
Yeah, it sounds
braggy. It sounds braggy,
no,
but.
No, no,
but
I asked
but
the
it really was. You did ask a question, but I mean, we took the Concorde to Paris. Who does it at 21?
Concorde. That was a biggie.
We went away
that's
for
a big extravagance.
For one.
Santa, if you're gonna be here talking to the microphone.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She's polishing her nails. She's gonna get
it.
She's and she's making me high on the smell, Mom. It's really gonna go right to my head.
This is natural, organic nail polish. You can't possibly be affected by
it. Wow. That studio has no vent.
It has no ventilation. Exactly. Thanks, Mom. But yeah.
So, I'm glad you came here to do your beauty regime. I'm sorry, did we disturb you?
So I mean, and
watch
I was
my
telling
Louis Attaché case.
Yeah, exactly.
This explains so much about these two, by the way.
I can't. So yes, yeah, so I have to say, it really was.
You stayed in Carlotta. Was it a Chanel Coco Chanel?
Oh my God!
Suite?
Like I stayed in, like at. I mean, even at 21 years old, stayed at the Ritz, a suite.
Yeah, that was
everything, and then went
time,
over. We
really.
We went away for 1 month. So it was, wow. I told my husband, I go, we did more at 21. I mean, we travel a lot now, we do, but we really went, like, everything was top-notch. Top-notch. Paris, we flew into Paris, and then we went to Italy. Mm. We did Rome, we did Venice, but I mean, staying at the Hustler in Rome, and,
right.
and you know, I mean, the Danielli in Venice, like, everything. And I look to the hotels now, and it's so amazing. Like, when I check them, I'm like...
Yeah, they're crazy.
Oh, the San Pietro.
Yeah,
the San
right.
Pietro, the Positano. A suite. A suite now in that hotel is $3,000 a night. I mean, it's insane.
Fine. So Mariah
it's
Carey...
Absurd.
Mariah Carey basically looked at your wedding and went, I gotta do better than
Teresa. It was crazy.
You had... I mean, Reno had... the other restaurant at the time, you had the whole restaurant in Angelo's, everything made up of marzipan. You had the floating champagne on it. You had vodka coming out of the ice sculpture.
Wow.
And caviar.
And champagne,
Bellini's.
Like when you walked in and the champagne grapes and the champagne just like
flowing out of the ice. I mean, it was amazing.
Insane. It was
like a movie.
It I
really
want to do it again.
I want to do it again. Yeah, Mom, you want to pay for it? And then I got divorced. And then my sister gets married. Oh my God, years later, she gets divorced. I know.
So wait, Nicole, I want to hear about your wedding. So what did you? What was your wedding? And what was your one extravagant thing?
Water
or were you? You did the same thing where the whole thing was just over the top.
The whole thing was beautiful. It was at the Water Club in Manhattan. I mean, everything was just magnificent. Again, my florist was, I think, Jonathan at the time. He did like magnificent work. So we, I'm trying to think one thing that was like so. I think everything was.
Everything was beautiful.
Everything was just.
I
top
love the
notch.
Water Club.
Yeah.
The one,
have good memories there.
The one over the top thing. Actually, I did two over the top things for my wedding. One, I had the wedding at the Players, which is a private club that my husband at the time and his father were members of on Gramercy Park.
Nice.
So we got the key to the park. We took the photographs inside Gramercy Park with and we had this beautiful like cherry blossom tree. I mean,
favorite.
It's too bad the marriage didn't work because the photographs are amazing. Like we looked really happy.
Oh my goodness!
And so my one real extravagant thing was I had one of those cakes made by one of those really, this was at the beginning, this was 2005 when people were starting to spend crazy amounts of money on cakes.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So that's what we did. That was our one extravagant thing. We had one of these big giant cakes made. It was like Art Deco black and white, and she made up these big giant cookies that said just married. And it was really like, but it was really
nice.
Like hip and cool, and like nobody was doing those cakes yet. And I would say the cake was probably more money than my dress.
Wow.
And I wore Vera Wang to my wedding.
Beautiful. Oh, I love my dress.
Love
mine was
it.
From London, and it was mad.
That was probably your extravagant.
It was very extravagant. It was, again, a fortune. Thank you, Mom. But it tied up in the back like it was magnificent, like a corset. It was to die for.
I want to see pictures of Cooper's cake.
Yeah, I'll show you pictures of that cake. You're not going to believe
it.
I mean, it was really over the top. Like, people, they were like, that was a great wedding, but that cake.
And did it taste delicious,
yes.
Cooper?
Yeah, it was gourmet in every way, shape, or form. I mean, because you go with, when you go to a place like the Players, you go with whatever caterer they have. So it was the person who caters for the players, which is, they were delicious. They were good. The food was delicious. But I wanted that one really special element. And we went to, I don't even remember the name of the woman that made it, but she was like some, she had just done like four celebrities in a row. And I called her and she's like, I don't do non-celebrities. I was like... And, you know, luckily, my
Does she know now you're a celebrity?
Well, yeah. My ex-father-in-law was in the business, and he knew everybody. So he was the one that arranged her, for her to do the cake, because she wouldn't do non-celebrities. But he was really good friends with, like, every... Like, his best friend is, or was, because he died, Morgan Freeman. So he had all these, like, big celebrity names, and he was like, I'll just have Morgan call.
That voice, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Once that voice calls and asks you to do anything, like, you know,
listen,
whatever, give me a kidney.
Yeah, exactly.
Commit a murder. Exactly. That voice, you're like, I'm in.
Hypnotizing. He's good. He was good.
Now, Santa, you got married quite a while ago.
Quite a while.
Now, when you guys were all getting married, like you and your friends back during that time, were there the big extravagant weddings the way they are now?
No,
it a little more?
Not really.
But Mom, I know something extravagant you did, and you were very much ahead of your times.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you get your dress?
B. Altman.
And it was beautiful.
That was one of my favorite stores. But once again, it wasn't like it is today. I passed by the window. I worked on 23rd and 5th, and I used to go to Altman's and all the stores every day, lunchtime, I used to hit them all. And Altman's was one of my favorite department stores on 5th and 34th. It was so beautiful.
Right.
Your dress was gorgeous.
I saw the gown in the window, and I said, I'm going to try that on. And my mother met me and Aunt Geraldine, and I tried it on. I said, yeah, this is it. It was so pretty. It was 1965.
Uh-huh.
And it was a typical, it was lace, and it was en pierre, but straight, all lace, with a little satin bow. It was very 60s, very...
She looked like Audrey Hepburn.
And
she did.
A long time ago.
I'll show you pictures.
It was just, it was really a very... Easy decision for me. I didn't stress over it. The gown. But I did have a typical afternoon wedding was very big at that time. You'd have a mass. You'd have a daytime wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then jump into the city with all of our friends that night.
Wow.
You went to Italy on your honeymoon.
We stayed at the Plaza. We did do, for that time, we did.
You did a lot for that time.
Yeah. Who stayed at the Plaza, Ma, so many years ago?
From Brooklyn.
I know. Well, I just thought I was something else.
We hopped into the city. We stayed at the Plaza. We went to Italy on our honeymoon.
I remember my Aunt Jean when I had... a bridal registry, at that time.
Sure.
I have Lennox and sterling silver. Nobody in my family had that. You know, we didn't come from that kind of
background,
ilk.
Yeah.
No, not at all. No, it's true. And
so my aunt said, who do you think you are, the Queen of England?
No, it's true. Like, we did
but
it.
Do
my
you know
grandmother-
what's so beautiful? Like, this is really... Yesterday, when I made the pot of coffee,
is that beautiful?
I took your china out, and we used your Lennox china
because
I had coffee, which was so beautiful.
Teresa's got so much room in her house; I can't store all this stuff. But it was nice that you used it.
See, there you go. I mean, that's really beautiful, and isn't it nice to? Mm-hmm. I know I love using all my stuff.
Married.
Yeah, I use all my stuff that I got for my wedding. Like, all that stuff is really nice and really interesting and really expensive.
Uh-huh.
It's my everyday wear, because what am I waiting for?
But to think 50 years old that china is.
I know.
50 years, that Lennox. And I took it out yesterday, and someone said, that is so beautiful. And I said, this was my parents' china when they got married.
Oh, God, it's vintage.
It's vintage.
It's really beautiful.
It's almost an antique, right? What makes an antique?
100 years.
100 years.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Because the thing is, I was wearing...
100 years, right?
I was wearing a t-shirt. This t-shirt that I stole from a boyfriend in college, The Replacements. And I was wearing it, like, under something. Yeah. And some kid was like, oh, my God, where'd you get that vintage t-shirt?
Shut up. That's scary. No, but it is sweet. I know. But we have good memories. Like, you're right. Grandma, like, they didn't come from money. But it was the best, I have to say.
Right.
I was saying, I I almost just miss those simpler times, like grandma's house. And I go, how did she do it? A little four burner stove. Everything came out hot. 100 dishes she would make, you know, always a pot of coffee on. And no
so
computers, no,
you know what's so funny?
Cell phones.
We went to the store yesterday and we go buy everything for the gravy. We bought the meat, the this, the bread. We leave the store and it's $400, right?
Of course, always.
How did grandma do it? Like, we always felt so, like, in abundance. Mm. And they didn't have the money back then. But meanwhile, she cooked for everyone. No, she seriously. She cooked for everyone on Sundays.
Yes,
and we
did.
Always had
and the
from,
meat.
But we had the appetite, you know, the
well, they,
everything.
Well, it didn't cost that much.
The
but
dessert.
It was still relative.
It's yeah, still right. relative. Exactly. Yeah.
Because it was more than just the two of them, because she bought food for everybody.
She cooked for everybody.
Had, yeah.
All the grandchildren, all the kids. There was a lot. There were a lot of us.
And then she used to work in the factory. Remember, she used to bring like everybody food at the factory.
Yeah.
And she used to have us knit when we were little. And then she used to bring home the lace. And we used to do the
$3 an hour. We would get
$3 an hour. We would like do the needling for her when we were little.
My grandmother, my mother,
at a young age. Yeah,
we used to help her. Yeah,
it's really beautiful.
For our Christmas show, we would knit all the little booties.
Yeah, for the kids in our class. We were like first grade.
First grade, we knew how to knit in first grade. She would teach us.
Remember, for mommy and daddy, we would make little hats and scarves. Them for
their
Christmas
gifts. We would make them gloves, a scarf, a hat, and we would knit them ourselves.
When was the last time either one of you knit anything?
Child labor.
Well, I do remember in, out, over, under.
You
see that?
In, out, over, and under. Yeah, you're right. In, out, over, and under.
That's how I do. In, out, over, and under. With two needles.
And
the different numbers on the needles, the bigger ones, the thinner ones. Yeah.
We had the best grandmother ever.
Yeah, it sounds
like it. She was like so much fun, and she just said, right, Mom, and that's why. And then you were so much fun.
If anyone bothered us on the block, she would hit them over the head.
No, she was bad.
She would have made a good housewife.
She would have made a great housewife.
Yeah.
She would have been reality star. She would have been on there. She would have been like Buff Angul.
She would have been flipping tables.
My mother never cursed. You really don't curse, Mom.
No.
My mother would never fight with anyone. My grandmother, and back then, she would get arrested. A little kid on the block would bother us. She'd be like, get over here, you bastard. Hit him across the head. I swear. She was a toughie. That's where I think I get her from. And my mother would come home and be like, so how was your day? She'd come in and we'd be like, oh, great. Grandma hit someone across the head. And then his mother's coming right now up the street. My mother would be like, what are you doing? And my mother's like, I'm not a fighter. You were like a pacifist, Ma, like your father.
I did take after my father.
Yeah, not us. Not us. We have like the feisty, fighting gene.
He was a class act.
Oh, yes, that's really
he
nice.
He really was. He was from Northern Italy.
So you're saying grandma wasn't?
My grandmother.
My mother taught me the finer things in life.
My grandmother was French. Like you guys were telling, my grandmother was French. Mm-hmm. So I remember like always amazing cooking. But she died when I was very young. And my cousin compiled a bunch of, my grandfather was obsessed with her because she was so beautiful. So there's tons of video of her from back then. So my cousin put together like this video show of her. And she said, as I was editing it, I realized she never wore the same thing twice.
Wow.
She was like a fashion plate even back then.
Leave
she had
it to those French.
Exactly. She was born in Paris. She was originally from Paris. So she always had like fabulous clothes and she had stuff made for her. Because, they were really, and she was, that was her thing. Like your family's into food. She was into fashion.
Yeah, my grandma had aprons.
As you can tell, that didn't really.
My grandmother would for Christmas house dresses and aprons. Right, Mom?
Yeah. A&S.
Yeah, I didn't inherit
I want to see
that.
Your grandmother's closet.
Oh, my God. You should. I mean, I have a bunch of her clothes still. That
wow.
Like my cousins
kidding.
And I split it up. We have so much of her stuff. It's,
wow.
I mean, amazing things. But, you know, stuff from like the 40s, 50s, and 60s. What am I wearing that to?
Yeah,
you know,
still,
things with like
I
beads
it.
and brocade. All.
Wow.
I look ridiculous. I'm going to come to the podcast wearing like some beaded dress.
I seriously would. So can you hand it over?
Hand it over
to this girl in heels, okay?
Plus, she was tall, so I'd have to get everything hemmed and everything. Yeah,
really?
She was like a traditional, like tall,
Parisian,
beauty.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Parisian, black hair, green eyes, just those big
Whoa.
Cheekbones, like really stunning.
Yes.
I know.
I saw Leslie Caron on TV last week.
Oh, okay, Leslie Caron, yeah.
Yes, and she is still beautiful and naturally aging, just beautifully.
On CBS Sunday Morning,
yes.
right?
Did
yes.
you see her?
Yeah, I did see
Don't
her.
Don't you think she looks gorgeous?
Gorgeous.
Ah,
gorgeous.
And I,
yeah.
Now I want to see an American in Paris because, you know, she was in the original.
Of course.
Film.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, she looks so natural and so
okay.
Beautiful. There's something
shame on me.
French.
Who is she?
Leslie Caron. She was she is an actress
okay.
And dancer. She was
She's French. She
French.
Was really big back in the day.
In the day, fifties mostly.
Right.
But she's just a class act. She's just a beauty. One of the beauties.
How do you know she's like aging gracefully?
Because
like,
no. I see her on TV.
Yeah,
the other day.
She just did an interview a couple weeks ago on CBS Sunday Morning, and she was
yes,
just
yes, we'll watch
still.
It. You don't, Teresa. You're missing out.
I tape it if you ever want to catch up.
you're honestly too young to watch the show. I mean, there's nobody.
I watch it every Sunday.
Okay, you and I
the watch
only
it
people.
Every Sunday
Actually,
morning.
Three of us
I
are the only
it.
People under 80
okay. yes.
who watch that show.
It's one of my favorite
Me too.
Shows.
I don't
Charles
miss it.
Charles Boskin, see you on the radio.
Well, wait, you ready for this? His studio is right above us.
No.
Yes, he's right up
Let's
there right now.
Let's go say hi to him.
I
go say
hi to him.
Him in his little bow tie standing right up there right now.
I love
above
him.
Us. Yeah. So if you hear pounding on the ceiling, that's
yeah.
him.
Let's get the broom. Oh my God, I just remember that. Let's get the broom and like hit the ceiling.
Oh, that's what my grandmother used to do.
Nope. We all lived, well, my grandmother, her parents lived downstairs.
My
great-grandparents.
Who we knew.
And my aunt and uncle lived upstairs.
Our great aunt
and uncle. So when it was time for dinner, she would get the broom and she would pound up and pound down.
Yeah,
and that would mean like everyone
going on.
Come to dinner.
This is a good transition. Speaking of dinner, because you know how we never get to the things we pitch at the beginning of the show. I want to know about the diet that Nicole is on, because she said she's on some new diet.
Well,
and I told the listeners that you were.
Okay.
So what is it?
Well, first off, I really started cutting a lot of meat out of my diet. And
really?
It's made, yeah, I feel so much better. I have more energy and I really want to try and stick with it. And also dairy. Everyone knows I love my dessert and I drink my coffee every morning with whipped cream in it, which I'm not cutting that out.
Right.
But I'm really, and I was eating ice cream every single night, what I spoke about. So I've cut a lot of dairy out of my diet. So I'm not eating my ice cream every night anymore.
So when
and
I
I've
see
cut...
you by the refrigerator spraying the whipped cream in your mouth, should I stop you?
No. Don't take my whipped cream away.
Don't. Take her right
Don't
on.
Don't take my ready whip.
Now, why? How come you've decided to cut out dairy
and
meat?
Well, Teresa's because... reading this book now, and she's been sharing a lot with me. And
okay.
dairy and
it's
meat
of me.
Are just really...
What's the book?
Horrendous.
It was something about, I bought so many.
This is Teresa. She just reads and
no,
she forgets
I just,
the title.
No, it's like, no. No, I will tell
else.
You why.
Life-changing book.
It's detoxing. It was called, one of them was like the detox, it says big detoxing diet, how to, I'm all about skin if anybody knows me. Like, everything just fascinates me. So, it's how to get the most, your radiant skin and the whole bit. So, I've been reading it. And of
Can
course,
we take a picture of the big thing that you got zapped on the side of your nose when you got...
No.
Could
it's
we...
not zapped. I got a peel. And
I
then
love
she said,
those.
Oh, I get lots of peels. That's why
love
my skin's em. Peeling right now. And there's a little, my sister's making fun of this
It's little, right?
It's not a little. It's
Cooper
a little
could
skip.
See it from the studio.
No, you can't. It's
a mile
little...
down.
I thought there was a bug on your cheek.
All right, smartass.
So she tries loves to take pictures of what we talk about. So I think it would be funny to post a non-perfection picture of Teresa.
I have a little skip on the side of my nose.
No, but Teresa, you did change my life because I'll tell you why. I'm usually pretty good about my skin, but a lot of times you come in here and you're like, I don't have makeup on because I'm doing a skin thing. And now what I do on days that I'm not doing television and I don't have to be all made up, like right now today, what I did this morning is I woke up, I did my little bit of Retin-A, and then I put I use Mario Badescu and I all over my face, so I'm all moisturized. I have no makeup on because
Perfect.
Of you.
See.
See, and I spray the little whatever you have that rose oil,
rose water. Oh, that Mario Badescu has the good one.
They do. That's the one I use. That rose shit.
Yeah, that rose shit. Yeah, that rose shit. No, but it's true. So I've been like reading this book, and of course I did. What I got, Nicole, I didn't get. She said, "Oh, you have a little mark here." So she was very sweet in my facial. She said, "Oh, I'm gonna zap it for you." I guess it must have been, I don't know, maybe whatever. She goes, I'll just zap it, it will go away. But obviously, when you do like any IPLs, sometimes it does scab up and then it falls off. But your skin is very radiant. I like as much natural stuff as possible. That's why I think, you know, the IPLs, the pulse lightning, you know, the the light, whatever that they
do. Yeah, the laser stuff they do. Yeah, yeah.
So peels because they tighten your skin. It increases collagen. It firms your skin naturally. Without all those, I don't like fillers. I'm not against Botox. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't like fillers. I don't like when
talk
I
to
see
me
these...
in 10 years.
No, but you know what? I'll get a facelift.
Botox is my friend.
No, Botox is my friend. I like Botox. Okay, I don't have a problem with Botox. I think it's awesome. And for crow's feet or any lines, I think it's great. But I don't like when I see sometimes people getting fillers, they look older than they are.
Yes.
Because they're sticking it in their face and they're getting these ridiculous chipmunk cheeks.
That Volumina stuff,
yes.
Yeah, that looks bizarre on some people.
Where I rather, as much as you can, increase the collagen in your skin naturally. So I'm reading this book, Radiant Skin, okay? So it was saying how we really weren't meant to eat. We should get our proteins from really plant-based. And that's very important. Meat is very acidic to the body. Acidic is cancer-causing. It throws your whole body, the whole alkaline, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to get. They say it should be a 7.
So are you also not eating meat and
dairy? No, I ate tons of meatballs.
She fried four meatballs before we left.
I fried four meatballs today. Okay. Four. But I am aware of it with cutting down. I do want to cut down. I want to do more fruits and vegetables in my diet. Mm. I do because they say, meat makes your body. So we weren't really meant to eat as human beings, really weren't meant to eat meat. And I was telling my son that. I was reading how the strongest animals on this planet, such as gorillas, giraffes, hippopotamuses, rhinoceroses, elephants, are the strongest creatures, okay? They all eat plants.
They're all omnivores, right?
Yeah,
omnivores.
They do
they're
not.
They're not carnivores.
Yeah, they're not.
Right.
And they all eat plants, plant-based proteins. So I was telling my son, you don't need to eat this much meat. Because I want to tell you something. If you notice, see all these people who work out, and some of them like, oh, they look so great, and they're runners, and they eat protein. I got to tell you, if you look at them, they look a little wrinkled. You have to be very careful, because they eat all this protein, and these protein shakes and protein bars. They're really not that good for you. You really have to get the right ones. Who's ever listening? All these people out there. Because then you start seeing them. And even runners, they look really, really skinny.
Right.
And then their faces sometimes.
Gaunt.
Look a little gaunt.
Yeah.
Look a little shriveled. And you really have to, like, constantly put sunscreen on. You have to. There are so many books out there. Like, go educate yourself, people. Because there's so much good stuff to read. To stay young.
Right.
Everything is anti-inflammatory.
People always say to me, like, you look great for your age. And I want to say, I always say, genetics. But the truth is, I've never eaten meat. I've been a vegetarian my whole life.
Didn't know.
I was a vegan for a little while, but I got sick all the time. So I thought, well, let me at least add back in, like, some eggs and some cheese and that kind of thing. I love my yogurt. I have, I try and eat a yogurt a day.
Yeah.
Just because I get so busy that I will just miss a meal. So if I have a yogurt, at least that's something. Mm-hmm. But I've been a vegetarian since I'm 8 years old. So when people are like, you look great, I feel like it makes them feel bad if I say, well, I've never really eaten meat because they can't go back. They don't have a time machine.
Right.
So I just say, genetics. But the truth is, I think it has a lot to do with exactly what you're saying. I mean, because... I can't tell you how often, I'll be at a doctor's office, and they'll look at the thing, and they'll go, is this birth date correct on here?
See, that's awesome.
You know, I'm like, yeah, that's how old I am. And they're like, okay.
Oh, that's great.
And
that's
I'm telling you, it's because of exactly what you're saying, because
you
of years
skin.
Of, although I have been hitting the ice cream as of late, so.
But see, you We're really do places. Look amazing. So, and trust me, everyone listening, it's not as though, one thing about me, I'm not so black or white. It's not like I'm going to stop, but.
It's about balance.
It's about balance. I mean, I wish I could, totally stop, no dairy, because it really is the worst thing for us. It's the worst thing for us. But, I
can't
like
give
my
up the dairy.
Ricotta, and I like my mozzarella, and as I made my
Parmesan cheese.
Yeah. Yummy.
All right, so one more thing we got to talk about before we wrap up. Steve Harvey, can you tell me what you saw, what he said, Nicole?
I just saw YouTube this morning that my cousin Ronnie sent me, and it was so awesome. I never realized how much he talks about, he's like a motivational speaker as
well. Very much so, yeah.
He's amazing. So he was talking about how are we living... Or are we existing? And I love it because he said, you have to jump in life. You have to jump you have to make the jump in order to soar. And I think that's so important.
What does that mean?
What he was saying was God has given all of us a gift. And a gift not just saying if you sing or know how to dance or anything like that. He has given us all a gift. And we must use that gift. And find that gift. Because the promises that God makes, just like you have to jump. And the first time, that parachute may not open. He said, like, what was the word?
He said you have to get scraped and bruised on the way down.
So
you're
going
to get the scrapes and the scars and the bruises.
Right.
But before you know it, God's promise, that parachute is going to open. And you know what? If you don't jump, then your parachute is never going to open. So make the jump.
And but that we all deserve to really live, not just exist. And I think that's so important. And I spoke to my cousin who shared this with me today. I said, but Ronnie, are you really enjoying every day what you're doing?
Cousin Ronnie.
Cousin Ronnie, yes.
The one that we learned a couple of weeks ago was
miserable.
Yes, you know what? He's such a character, and but at the same time, he's deep, too. And he just sent this to me today, and he said it really, you know, made an impact on me. And I'm like, well, then listen to it. Don't just exist, Ronnie. You need to live. You're not enjoying what you're doing. Every day.
You know, Steve Harvey is a motivational speaker.
Oh,
I mean,
I love his
books are all, he's got a book out right now called Act Like a Success, Think Like a Success, Discovering Your Gift. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about exactly what he said in the video. That's what the book is about. He's very into motivational speaking. He's very into, like, we always say, like, we should support each other. He does that by saying, I became successful. I am the anti-success. I mean, who wants, like, some big black guy? And then I show up, you know, and yet you know, he's very atypical of what you would think is somebody that's as successful. This is his words. I mean, I think he's always been, like, funny and charming, and I can't imagine why
he's very
of course
warm.
He's a success.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
But yeah, he's so likable.
Mm-hmm. He
you
is.
Know, the game show stuff and the talk show stuff. And I mean, he has what it takes. And it's really great that he believed in himself early on, because I don't think he was successful young. I think
he said
older.
It took him 26 years
that's
to
right.
get where he is today, where he's making money on, you know, laughing and telling jokes and doing what he loved. So it just didn't happen overnight.
And he found his gift. That's his gift.
And that's what he was saying. His friend has a $4 million landscaping business in Cleveland.
He loved to cut grass,
because,
he said.
This you know, when everyone loved, was right. going out, he
was cutting grass.
He was cutting grass.
And he was good at it.
And he was good at it. Mm. Or someone, if they're a good baker, you know, let them bake. Or if someone is good in, you know.
Find what you love.
Find what you love.
Well, you know, look at Sandra Bullock's sister. I just saw her the other day on TV where she's baking now. And she makes all gluten-free, healthy desserts, like chocolate cakes with vegetables that you would never know.
Wow.
And she said she was into production with her sister Sandra Bullock, and she said it wasn't her calling. She had to get out of the industry. It wasn't for her, and she went into baking. She's awesome. I think she was on Rachel Ray.
I love those kinds of inspirational stories, because that's the kind of stuff that you have control over. There's so many things about success that you look at and you think, well, you know, I want to be a famous actor, and that's somebody else's. But there's stuff that you can control. There's jobs you can have and you should have. And I think that's a great message, because you can be listening right now and thinking, I'm in this job, I don't like it. But look at the movie Joy. I mean, she invented a fucking mop.
I know.
No.
You know. So
and then hangers.
So everyone has something that they're good at.
And
she was passionate.
People would think, people would have given up. Did you see her go on QVC? Like, she basically failed. Like, nobody at first bought her mop. She
not
was going from place
call.
To place to place.
Not one
other,
call.
But she believed. So, you know, and
she had a vision, and she believed. Vision is important, and belief.
And you know, that seems to be a common thread. Like, if you read any of the books about the most successful people out there, they will tell you they failed miserably before they became really famous. I mean, I used to use Donald Trump as an example, but he's such a lightning rod right now. I don't usually use him as an example. But actually, that's one of the things that
Cole loves him.
That's one of the things that he said in his in his earlier books, that he went bankrupt several times and failed miserably in order to. Because he was willing to take the risk. That's what it's about. It's about taking that risk, and that's the hardest thing for
people.
Well,
that's the jump, I think.
That's the jump.
Harvey's
no risk,
about.
No glory.
And you know what I noticed, too? Sometimes, and I always notice this, and I love this, and I wrote this down, the message is in the mess.
Yes.
You know, it's so good. Like, it's so true. The message is in the mess. And I want to tell you something. It's so another truth, and I always, like, and this is, like, beyond truth, you always face the greatest opposition when you're closest to your breakthrough. Always. And you know what? That's what separates the go-getters, the people who succeed, and the people who just won't jump. Because right when you're, and it's always
true. I say
true.
Cows. I call them cows.
You're either a cow or a bull, and you gotta be
a bull.
You gotta push through it. Push through it. You know, full speed ahead. Because right when that greatest, that you feel that greatest opposition, some people just go, they give up. don't give up, people. You know, but you know, I tell kids that all the time. Don't give up, because that's when your breakthrough is going to happen for you.
And you know, I think as mothers, too, that's what we want for our children. Like, I tell my boys, I want you to do what you love in life. I want to see you happy, and that will make mommy the happiest. I don't want to see them, you know, go out and do something because, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money and this and that. Do what you love, I tell them. Do what you're passionate about, and you will be successful.
Absolutely, Nicole. It's true, and I tell my, failure is the, mother, right? Failure is the mother to success?
Yes. That's good. That's beautiful. Okay.
And we'll end on that note,
people. We'll end on that note. Good job, you guys.
Loveys.
Very interesting this week. Thank you so much for listening to another week of Girls in Heels. And please spread the word. If you like the show, tell people about us.
Yes.
Because, first of all, it's free. So, you know, you're giving a gift.
It's free.
That, you know.
It's fun. Oh, and everyone, have a very happy Valentine's Day coming up. Yay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The day of love. And I love you all, my Girls in Heels.